Let's turn our attention now to the air characters, the air profiles. Remember, the air type people are abstract and logical. They're your typical university professor, your intellectual. In Ezekiel's term, we're talking about the eagle, the far-seeing creature. Plato liked to call these the rationals. They're the scientists of the day who would go out there and tame nature by understanding how it works and how it can work for us. Whereas the first hunters might have been very fiery type people, and the actual, you know, gatherers afterwards growing their crops, etc., were maybe more earthy types. It probably took an air type character to figure out how to go from hunting to gathering, to figuring out that rather than running around a big circle trying to pick up enough berries and animals to be able to feed yourself, you could all put them in one place and it'd be a lot easier. So part of this intellect, this rational idea, this abstract thinking and very logical thinking is a strong theme of efficiency. So air type peoples, your Alans and Alanas, are people who really go for efficiency through analysis and intellect. They are people who are very intelligent, or at least what we would call intelligent. I think the others have their own kind of intelligence. They're great at analyzing things, dissecting things. So you'll see them a lot in science and technology, just because that's kind of the stuff that their mindset gravitates towards. Or perhaps it's because that kind of discipline will make their minds be more air type in character, more distant, more reserved, more abstract in their thinking, and very logical and sequential in their activity. The key thing that marks out the air types out is this drive for efficiency. They'll analyze things to do them not just in the right way, but in the way that's most efficient of all. So their logical nature, which is part of the left brain thinking, is a very pragmatic and systematic process, whereas their abstract nature looks for the bigger picture in it. Hence, not just what works, but what works better. Air-type people will look at differences in things, the differences in people, they look at distinctions. In a negative connotation, in other words, a socially less apt air-type person could be a nitpicker, someone who constantly finds fault in your language, constantly finds fault in your ideas. If you say something, you go, yes, but consider it this way too. And that's just their choice of fine distinctions. Now, there's a difference with someone who's a contrary nature. If you say black, they have to say white. And someone who is nitpicking, in other words, the air type character is not just saying no when you say yes because you said yes and he has to say no. He's saying, well, you say this big concept is green, whereas actually there's all kinds of shades in there, from turquoise to blue to orange and yellows, and you've got to take account of them all. So when you say green, I have to disagree with you, because over here you have some orange, over here you have some turquoise, over here you have some blue, and overall it has a green impression, but it's not really green. That's the kind of precision that is typical of an air-type person. You'll see this a lot in philosophy. It's actually those who have studied logic. Logic is the domain of an air-type character. It's something they feel at home. They love the complexity of it. They love the experimentation. They can be very playful people, but in a way that possibly more fiery and earth-type characters won't understand, because it's very abstract playfulness. You'll see air people being delighted by puns and very dry sense of humor. So the English were famous for this laconic sense of humor, this very dry, almost dark sense of humor, which is played on word puns and games and stuff like that. The Spartans, which were an ancient Greek race, were also very famous for this. For example, when a Spartan son turned to his mother and said, or complained that his short is too short, she very calmly turned around and said, well, you know, you might reach your enemies if you stepped in a bit closer. So that's the kind of humor that an air type would really appreciate. On TV, you might have seen the show Frasier. He's an over-typical version of an air type personality, very intellectual, likes those complexities and ideas, very cerebral, and can be seen as being a little bit distanced by others. It's not that they're distant, it's not that they dislike people, it's just that they're not so oriented towards the senses. And that can create a boundary between people, because they're thinking about the practical efficiency things instead. One thing that really marks out the air character is an insatiable curiosity. They love research, they love thinking about things, theorizing, and explaining everything away. So an air-type person, if they can't explain something, will go nuts. They'll try and find an explanation for it. So typically, if you confront an air-type person with, say, a magic trick, he's a person who has to know what's going on. He can't appreciate the moment of it. He just has to know what it is. He has to know how it works, because otherwise, the illusion that he's been left with is going to annoy that person. Again, I'm talking about tendencies here, so don't take these overgeneralizations as, you know, this person has to be this way. These are tendencies you'll be able to see within people, and when you find them, you'll know what kind of person you have, and you can take educated guesses that when you have someone who's very much into the analysis and the intellectual side of things, the chances are they'll like complexities, they'll like abstract thinking much more, they'll be nicely sequential in their thinking also. On the dark side, on the negative side of what this mixture between abstraction and logical and left brain thinking can make, they can seem very distant and cool, maybe even insensitive at times. It doesn't mean that they don't feel things, it's just because they don't show those feelings. In other words, the earthy types and the fiery types being very concrete and conceptually oriented, they'll show those feelings much more clearly because it's about the details, and they'll speak about the details. An air type character can feel just as strongly, but won't show it. The expression will maybe be more passive, maybe even bland. So they'll be perceived as being more bland people because all the activity is going on inside their brain rather than outside in their voice, their mannerisms, all the stories and anecdotes that they're telling. They can seem passive or unresponsive or detached, maybe even doubting. Remember, the inquiring nature of an airtight person, the logical progression plus the abstract big picture, seeing the whole what it's going on, leaves them towards skepticism. They like to break things down and see how things work, which means they've got to be skeptical about things. If you tell them the radio just works, well, they go, well, how does it work? Why does it work? Let me see for myself. So they can tend towards skepticism, even cynicism, saying that, you know, the world is negative, the world is bad, hence a kind of a pessimism. We talked earlier about an economist being the ultimate airtight personality. And again, you can see that pessimism in the extreme of logic. So when we take something that's just logic with no other thing involved within it, it tends towards nihilism, towards some kind of very depressing, dark view of humanity and the world and experience in general. And you see a lot of that in overdeveloped air kind of characteristics, to the point where they can be called unfeeling, uncaring, and, you know, divorced from life. So that's just the dark side. The general traits you're looking for, the general overall sense you will get from an airtight personality is that they're very curious. They can be very flexible and adaptable about things. They like to experiment and tinker with things, but not necessarily to create a particular machine, but just to see how things work and try out their ideas. They'll be very far-seeing, and they're really into the idea of being efficient. So the experiment's about making things better rather than seeing how they can make this machine or that machine work. So that rather than being a technician, like say an earthy type character might be, they'll be more an engineer who understands the principle behind it. And the experiments are more about making the principle work better in reality. So they can be very pragmatic, although on a more, you know, over a grand scale. These are people who you'll look for, you'll think are very intelligent and open-minded. They'll be very purposeful. The abstract nature, the far-seeing nature to what they're doing, their thought process, means they tend to look to the future a lot and be very purposeful, very guided by this concept, this principle that they're trying to investigate. They can be very tolerant and witty. The abstract nature, again, allows them to go through a whole range of experiences, and their logical pragmatism almost takes them from the extremes of one to the other, so they know what the whole thing looks like, which can make them look very tolerant. They're certainly very witty, in particular with words. The air nature is very much to understand definitions, what things are and what things mean. So an air personality can come across sometimes a bit like a walking dictionary. So this is the kind of person who might turn around to you and say, if you tell them, you know, I'm jealous of so-and-so, might correct you and say, actually, technically, you are envious of them. Jealousy is of something that you own or possess. It's a protective emotion, whereas envy is about something you haven't got. That's a typical air statement to give you a dictionary definition and correct you when you're using the wrongs wordly. Now, a lot of air people have realized or learned that to express these things is socially inept, and so we'll keep these things to themselves It will only come out in certain situations, for example, as a coach or a mentor, where their role is to help you improve. They'll help you improve by creating more fine distinctions in your life. So many schools of coaching are air-oriented because they're about making better distinctions. It might also come out in arguments. If you argue with an air type, it's almost like, okay, gloves are off, it's time to win on this one. He's making all these crazy assumptions, and I'm going to just point out all these flaws. And that can make them very infuriating, particularly if you're a kind of a fiery personality arguing with an air personality. You're complete opposites, the concrete and right brain thinking versus the abstract and left brain thinking. When a fiery personality says one thing in a very dramatic way, the air personality might just break it right down and say, well, actually, this is wrong, and you said this, and that can't be the case, and that's clearly illogical, and so on. It's like talking to Mr. Spock, and that can wind up a fiery personality no end, because they're talking about their emotions, about their experience right now, rather than about some logical concept. So they're very analytical and very abstract, and again, they can tend to be a little bit impersonal. They like to be very independent, so they're not very much socially oriented. That doesn't mean they're not in society and they don't like people around them, but whereas the fiery and the earthy personalities tend to be more interested in people and need people around them, maybe part of people, even look to people for approval. The earth people more in terms of social approval, the fire people because they want to kind of lead the group, be the leader of the pack and feel the vibe of approval people coming through them. An air character can be much more independent than that. The idea is more important than the people involved within it. This drive for precision and the big picture that helps an air character define, if you like, the way that the person thinks, makes them kind of hate trivialities. So one of the problems that an air character might have in terms of social context is small talk. They'll tend to only talk about things when they have something to talk about. So a university professor lecturing will be able to talk for hours on end. And maybe at a party, if you hit on their hot topic, they might be able to converse with in-depth analysis and ideas and be fascinating to talk to. But the minute you start talking about Uncle Ed and his big toes and your dog's washing problems and your cat's fleas and whatnot, they suddenly lose interest. It's like they can't even compete. They can't even think on that level. And again, when I say they can't even think, I'm overstating the case. What really is happening is they're in the wrong mindset. They're in an abstract mindset rather than a concrete mindset. And so all these little details don't mean much to them. They have nothing to attach them to. They're always looking for the greater principle. And it's very difficult to look for a greater principle when we're talking about your flea-bitten cat. Unless, of course, we're talking about vets and general health and so on, in which case they're constantly looking for the principle involved behind it and be able to address that. So again, an air-type personality might have difficulty small talk and might even get to the point in an extreme case where they hate small talk, where they find it demeaning or will look down on people that are sort of general small talk conversationalists as talking without really saying anything. Now, the analysis would be, I think, incorrect, partly because people who just talk without necessarily saying anything profound are still building wide rapport. They're still exchanging. They're still part of that human interaction. They're creating a network of interaction. And the words are just an excuse to interact, much like in a kind of family of monkeys, you might have people monkeys grooming each other. Words have taken the place of you stroking someone's hair and picking nits out and eating them for them. That's what human beings do. We use words to interact. And the earth and fiery types are great with using those words. Air types will use words as well and are very precise with them, but have that tendency to be reluctant to say something if they have nothing worth saying, losing sight a little bit of the sensual concrete element, which is the idea of the interaction for its own sake. The mind or the mental structure, the thinking style of an abstract air type thinker tends to be deductive thinking. The classic Sherlock Holmes who says, okay, we have this and we have this and we have this, therefore this must be the case. You know, we have one, we have two, we have three, add them all together and we get six. That's what we have. Compare that to the emotional thinking of the fiery type personality, which is much more about the experience and everyone, how they're feeling at that point in time, or the associational thinking of the earth type personality. This idea triggers that idea, triggers that idea. The deductive quality of the earth personality can be very insightful. It can lead to great conclusions. And, of course, in a social context, can seem like you're being lectured to a little bit. Finally, let's turn our attention to the fourth element, the water profile. You can think of this as a Will or a Wilma, if you like. And in terms of Ezekiel's four animals, this would be the man. Water has the profile of an abstract thinker and a right brain thinker. And this creates a very interesting profile. What this kind of tend to do is they tend to look for meaning with things and look for the big picture. In other words, the deeper meaning behind it all. Whereas a fiery person who's very much into the meaning and the experience of it, but on a very sensory detailed level, the watery thinker is much more on the meaning behind the meaning, the purpose of all of this thing, which tends to make them seem more spiritually inclined or oriented. These people talk about or are very ethically oriented in the sense that they think about what's the right way of doing things. An earth character will do the right way according to the rules. If you follow the rule book, it's okay. The watery people will try and figure out what are the rules meant to be. If I'm standing in the middle of a crossroads at a red light and there's no traffic for miles around, it's the middle of the desert, I can see nothing. Is it better to stop and wait and follow the traffic signals as a general rule? Or is it better to express the humanity and drive through and a pragmatic need to get actually to the other point quicker? Now, whereas an air person and maybe a fire person wouldn't think twice and say, just drive through because there's no point waiting. And an earth person might turn around and say, actually, the rules are the rules and we're going to follow them. The watery person might sit there and figure out, hang on a second, should I or shouldn't I? And once they've decided, they might seem more earthy or more airy, but they've actually decided for themselves based on the bigger principle behind it all. Their right brain nature, which is going towards this holistic, I'm in touch with life, in touch with everything, I'm part of the universe, I'm part of this organism called planet Earth and people around me and so on, can leave them in a position where they are very much empathetic towards other people. Whilst on the one level, the abstract nature makes them very independent, very autonomous, their empathy, their right brain nature, means they get a real sense of where people are at and want to create connections. Remember, left brain is all about dissecting things and breaking things down. The right brain is all about bringing things together and building things up. So that leaves the watery personality in a kind of a diplomatic role. They're great at bringing different groups of people together and finding common ground. So they're good negotiators, they're good diplomats. And again, I'm not suggesting that only watery people can be a diplomat. I'm just saying that these are the tendencies or these are the mindsets that is being expounded very well in there. Something which, again, a watery type character is going to be drawn towards is the healing arts. Counseling, healing, hypnotherapy, coaching, that sort of thing can be a very watery exercise. And that's partly because, again, they're looking for the inspiration in life. They want to offer inspiration to people through their empathy and their sense of bringing the world together. At the same time, their abstract nature wants to look at the bigger picture, so the deeper meaning behind things. So we're talking about ideas like self-actualization. Whereas air might be the kind of person that would be in traditional coaching that says, okay, let's break this down and here are the distinctions to make, here are the things you have to work on, and you know, be very purposeful and go for the big goal. The watery type person might be more around the lines of, okay, why are you in coaching in the first place? What is it that, how are you going to be more human? How are you going to be more whole, more complete? What's the bigger picture about this whole thing? So they're really concerned with this idea of your true identity, your authentic self. Who are you underneath all these layers? The abstract nature, which is all about big ideas, and the right brain nature, which is all about integrating and finding common ground, bringing things together, can create a very interesting creative streak in water type personalities in that they can integrate totally different things. They can bring people from high and low society together and make it work. They can bring knowledge from totally different planes of existence and combine them in a way that creates something completely new. So for example, the company Pixar, which was the first to use CGI, computer generated images, to create cartoons. You may remember the award-winning little lamp that jumped around the place. That's a great example of a watery type process, bringing together the technology of computing, of science, of information technology, and really the kind of stuff that up until that point was only being used in science labs and you know, big manufacturing plants, and bring it together with the more artistic, the more fiery sort of ideas, things like, you know, cartooning, the traditional painting and drawing and stuff like that. When those two things, which seemed so different back in the late 1980s and early 1990s, were brought together, it created a whole new field of art, which to us now seems totally normal. But again, it didn't exist until that idea of integrating two totally different streams of information, two totally different professions, came together. This kind of thinking has created tremendous leaps and bounds and progression in our society. For example, take something like the science of biology and add into it the idea of psychology. Suddenly we're studying people through their biology. That's really what neuroscience, particularly the study of the brain, has brought us to. Now, neuroscience didn't exist. You had biologists and you had psychologists. Psychologists running around doing the little paper and pencil test. Biologists running around cutting things up and measuring things. And never the twain shall meet. It took someone with a watery kind of vision to suddenly say, hang on a second, what if we combine these two disciplines? What if a biologist started asking psychological questions? In other words, if we simulate this bit of the brain, what happens to the personality? How do they behave? How do they feel? And vice versa. What if we took psychological ideas and looked at the biological roots behind it? In other words, if we change the brain, or we change the blood chemistry, or we change the context in this way, so we can change the biology in some way, what happens as a result to the personality? So drug therapy is kind of a mixing of these two fields into a completely new thing. Neuroscience is the whole field that was created by integrating totally different branches of knowledge. Now let's look a little bit at the dark side of the watery character. The watery character can be very easily annoyed, partly because they are looking for the deeper meaning in things, and trivialities can again annoy them. And people who don't meet up or match up to their expectation, they have very, very high expectations. They look for the best in people and can see the best in people. And then the downside of that, though, is that if someone isn't exhibiting their best, then they get annoyed by it. It's like, why aren't you being what you can be? Why aren't you being the way you should be? They can be very quick to show anger as a result. The cholerics, as Galen would call them, would be the watery kind of characters. As a rule, or rather on the negative side, someone who tends towards more the dark side of the watery character can be oversensitive and have trouble putting their feelings on hold or controlling themselves. So like the fiery characters who are very right-brained, they again can be very emotionally responsive. And the abstract nature making them a little bit oversensitive because one little thing can mean so much more. For example, someone comes in and forgets to say hello. To a fiery person, it's just one event. They forgot to say hello. No big deal. Their emotions are immediately affected. A watery type person might go to the deeper meaning. Why didn't they say hello? What does it mean? What's the principle involved here? Maybe they're angry with me. Maybe they're slighting me. Maybe they're being unpleasant. Maybe they're saying I'm not worth as much. I'm going to get angry about that because now they've devalued me. So that's kind of a thought set that might lead someone who's, shall we say, too watery and too sensitive in the watery side to lead to the wrong conclusions. Again, all of us have these four basic elements, earth, air, fire, and water, in our natures, in our makeups. It's just a question of which are predominant in a certain context and which we're most used to. In terms of the overall, shall we say, analysis, the overall general things or patterns we're looking for in watery type people, is they tend to be very accepting and again, very adaptable. And they tend towards idealism. Because of their, again, their search for deeper meaning and their very abstract nature, that leads them towards idealism. They can be very modest. They're not very showy in terms of the outside world and sensory kind of material. Again, like the air people, they again be more reserved and very humane. They tend to be optimistic. They tend to see the best in other people and very polite because, again, people are very important to them. They can tend towards the sentimental because of their empathy and their ability to abstract empathy in a large degree. In other words, their right brain nature can make them feel connection to other people. Their abstraction can let them project that to the nth degree, so it tends to augment it much more. They can be very sympathetic and definitely very trusting. Again, I'd like to say that they're creative, but again, they're creative in a different way to all the other types. The key thing around the water types is you'll see them being very insightful and intuitive. An air person can seem insightful, but what they really are is very logical and progressive. So when an air person presents you an insight, they'll present you the whole stream of thought that led to the conclusion. It's very rigorous and very robust. A watery type personality, on the other hand, will be insightful without quite knowing why. They're much more intuitive. They'll call a situation exactly right, and if you ask them why, they'll go, "I don't know. It's just the way. It's obvious." Whereas an air type person will turn around and say, "Well, here are the principles, and here's the conclusions, and here's how we got from A to B." Whereas an air type person was more deductive in their thinking, elementary, my dear Watson, this fact, this fact, this fact adds up to all this. The watery type person is much more inductive in its thinking. In other words, the deductive thinkers take a general situation and bring it down to the specific example here. So here's a principle. The principle is if you hit people, they'll cry. So in that case, in this moment here, this person will, if you hit them, they'll cry as well. Inductive thinking turns things upside down. They'll take a specific event and generalize out of it. What does it mean? So, I have someone who's crying here. Chances are they've been hit. This is a kind of learning through experimentation, learning by doing versus learning from first principles. Concepts and ideas, large-scale normalizations, are the domain of the watery people. Whereas air people like words as well, but they like to define words, control words, know what each means. Watery type thinking leads more towards kind of expanding the boundaries of something. They'll use metaphors and similes a lot because they allow them to talk about things in terms of other things. People are like fires. People are like the four elements. People are like monkeys. People are like all these other situations. In other words, we take information from someone else and apply it to a certain context. So you're creating a loop or kind of an organism of information connecting into itself in wider and wider circles. It's kind of like cross training for the mind. So if you're, for example, a swimmer, you could train just by swimming, but your muscles have only so much they can do there. So on other days, to give those muscles a rest, you might run or do weights or do some cardiovascular exercise or do some static exercises, stretching and so on. These are exercises which themselves don't add to the swimming itself. They don't make you a better swimmer, but they add in the background to it. It's kind of a cross training example. Watery people, in terms of their intellect, the way they think, are cross trainers. They'll look for information outside of the place where they need to be using it in. So a hypnotherapist might look at an artist and how he's doing it to become a better hypnotist. He might look at a school teacher in a ways of becoming a better hypnotist. He might look at a car engine and how it's put together and then use that as a way of improving his own hypnotic communications as well. It's just part of that abstract right brain sort of going out there in all directions sort of thinking versus the more logical going down into detail, into specific, okay, we're going to look at a constrained idea here, there, and everywhere. This tendency to be inductive, this tendency to go from one example to the general thing, to be very abstract in things very quickly, makes watery type people very prone to over-exaggerating something or to hyperboles. So they might not say, "This is an interesting idea," or "slightly curious." They'll go, "This is totally fascinating. This is an amazing experience. You have to, this will make you the happiest person ever. Once you do this, you'll never go back." These are very extreme form of language. Basically, black and white. Once you go there, that's it. And this is part of their negative side as well. They'll tend to over-emphasize or over categorize the results of something they found. If they have an insight about something, they'll tend to overestimate its value. An air type thinker, on the other hand, will tend to underestimate it. They'll tend to control and say, "Well, maybe possibly this, possibly that. Usually you'll find this. On time to time you'll find that." That's very air type vocabulary, this cautious qualifiers. Watery types tend to be the other way. They tend to be going all the time, everywhere. If you always want to have this, do this. Every time this happens, you'll get even more of that. And notice again how certain language patterns tend to fit in different personalities. So as you switch your language patterns, you're actually switching on these different types of thinking styles inside people and hence helping people switch their profiles a little bit. And here's one of the secrets to using these profiles. When you find someone being stuck as a result of, say, their rule-bound earthy type, then you need to use your language to move them from a very sensory-rich oriented logical progression to maybe a slightly less logical progression, a more right-brain sort of intuitive kind of thinking into a fiery personality, and maybe bring it up to levels of abstraction to concepts and ideas and normalizations. So you've moved someone all the way from earth all the way to its opposite, the water type, and there they might find a better place to find the creativity to change something in their personality and go back and integrate into the earth type personality so that new rules now apply and they can live by those instead. This gives people a lot more flexibility, and just by using your language or shifting your language, you're forcing them into these other mental types. If you do the shift too quickly or too ineptly, you'll probably find that you lose people. You know, an air type person starts us complaining, saying, actually, with this distinction, that distinction, that's not quite right, this isn't quite right. An earthy type might say, what the hell are you talking about? You know, love and happiness, what does it mean? I mean, I don't understand what you're talking to me about. But if you make the progression smoothly enough and move them through sequences enough, you can move an earth type into water type thinking, an air type into fire type thinking, and all the rest in between. Going back to the idea of water, the key idea here is imagination. A watery type person, if you ask them, what's worse, that a child is impractical or doesn't use his imagination enough, they'll probably say kids need to be more imaginative. An earthy type person is more sequential in their thinking, is very much a pragmatist in the sequence of, you know, this happens, that happens, that happens. So they might think more along the lines of kids or children should be put to good use. They should learn to do good things and work in the community and so on. An air type individual, on the other hand, is more analytical. They'll be more interested in the reasoning abilities of children. They should use their brains and learn to make distinctions and understand things and think for themselves. Whereas, on the other hand, the fiery types, their whole mental structure is around the idea of interpersonal interaction. They've learned kids should be independent, they should go out there and be bold and try things out, talk to people, and be part of life, really. So here are the four types: the earthy Eds and Ednas, the fiery Freds and Fridas, airy Alans and Alanas, watery Wills and Wilmers. Each one has been defined by two very simple characteristics. Are they abstract or concrete? Do they think more like a right brain or left brain? And these are very simple questions you ask yourself. They're very simple to answer, but give you a depth, a wealth of information about people straight away. Now, I caution you to think that just because someone's being very concrete and logical in their thinking, to instantly say, this is an earthy person, he can only be rule-bound, he's going to be a status-oriented, he's going to be caring what everyone around them thinks too much, and so on. These will be tendencies. These will be educated guesses, which will be right more often than they're wrong. However, you still have to observe them and notice them in the situations to get a more and more and more refined picture. And with each level of refinement that you get, you'll get to notice more and more distinctions within them. Here's the crazy thing, though. If we look at the world around us, there are so many different characters. There's so many different personalities. Sure, we can probably, now that we've looked at these four character types, categorize people into these four things. But even within water types, there's a million different types of people that exhibit the same characteristics. Same is true of earth, fire, air, and so on. So how do we account for these things? Well, think about it. We've used only two different poles, the idea of abstraction and the idea of brain orientation, or brain dominance rather, as a way of figuring out these four basic personality types. You start applying these ideas upon themselves, and you start multiplying it every time. Here's an example of what I mean. There's an old Chinese conundrum which is impossible to resolve. The basic idea is this. Take a chessboard, you know, the black and white squares, and I think there's about 64 of them. You place one grain of sand or rice on the first square, 2 grains on the second square, 4 grains on the third square, 8 grains on the fourth square. So you keep doubling it up. Every time you move squares, you just double up the proportions. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, and so on. Now, this seems like it's a nice, easy, natural progression, and you'll maybe get a couple of thousand grains of sand at the end of it, no big deal. The fact is that you will never be able to fill that chessboard up. There's not enough grains of sand in the entire planet. There's not enough rice on the whole of our planet to be able to follow that progression through. By the time you get to 64 square, you will need so much rice, you could not physically find it on our world. Now, this is how I look at personalities. We start off with very simple grains of sand or grains of rice. The polarity between left brain and right brain, abstract and concrete. We're now on square two. You add a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. We're looking at optimism versus pessimism. We're looking at motivational direction. We're looking at self versus other in terms of their value sets. Each one of these poles adds another layer of complexity. Four personalities become eight. Eight becomes 16. 16 become 32. 32 become 64. 128. And so on. Suddenly, you see personalities blooming and multiplying around you. Soon, you'll be able to actually see how and why everyone around you is the way they are. Just be able to track, keeping track of anywhere between two and a couple of dozen different polarities that you're actually looking out for. In the next session, I'm going to be looking at what those polarities are and how they'll influence these different characters so that you can start creating more and more complex profiles of each person. And remember, all of this is context dependent. As people change context, they may well change their profile. They may not, and then again, they may. As people change their state, they will change their profile. So if the context that they shift to changes their state, so their profile will change with it. So you can do educated guesses as to how people react in different situations. And if you really want to know, you end up having to test them. You have to start shifting their state subtly with your language, by needling them a little bit, putting them under pressure and so on. And then when you see the new part of them evolve, you'll create a more rich analysis of what that person's like. They might be airy when they're cool, calm and collected, but they might become very fiery under pressure and under stress. Then again, they might become more airy, or there might be no change visible at all. That all depends on how people have learned to deal with different states and what mechanisms inside the mind they're activating as a result. I think this is enough for today's session. I'm going to invite you now, between now and the next session, to go ahead and go and play a game. This is basically the profiling game. I played this with all my friends. It's a fantastic, fun game. You can do this with real people. You can do this with movies. You can do this with books. Basically, you sit down and you discuss with your friends, all the other friends, and say, who do you reckon this person is and why? I played this recently with a friend of mine whilst watching the Harry Potter series of films, something I really like. And we started profiling all the characters, Harry and Hermione and all the different characters that came through, saying, well, this person's fire, this person's air, this person's more earthy, this person's more watery, and here's why. Here's an example of behavior that makes them very watery. Here's an example of a behavior that makes them more airy. As a result of doing this, you become very sensitive of picking things up. Sometimes people are complicated because you might think, well, there's some watery bits, but there's some airy bits, and it's very difficult to see which is which. Of course, you're responding to their abstract part of their behavior, and there might be more borderline, you know, left brain, right brain. There might be more balance, so that it's a little harder to say, well, they're more this than that. But just the act of doing it makes you better at doing it. And if someone disagrees with you and if you find out why, you suddenly go, actually, yeah, I didn't spot that part of their trait, and I agree with you. Or you might say, well, maybe you didn't see this part, and they'll start agreeing with you. Ultimately, it's all just a head game. It's not going to be necessarily real. What's important is can you do this consistently? Can you find consistent patterns with people and then apply what you already know and what you can predict about them to be able to influence them in a better way? Now, we're going to come to the end of this session, but before we do, I promised you that I will give you my own personal profile just so that you can see how everything we talked about fits into this. Personally, I am smack bang in the middle of the watery profile. I do have tendencies towards the air, and you can tell that in terms of the logical organization of the Loftle Masterclasses, the ideas flowing sequentially and represent them. So when I'm teaching, I tend more towards air. However, in normal everyday situations, I am much more watery, I'm more intuitive, and even all the masterclasses, think about where they come from. Think about all the different topics that I've been covering. Basically, I look at the world around me. This is a classic integration structure. I look at something which totally has nothing to do with hypnosis, and I'll say, I'm going to borrow that and I'll use it here. And I find a way of improving the hypnotic process by something that's working in a totally different place. I'm also very interested in people, and in particular, how people evolve. So whereas earthy people are very much interested in status and you know, being acknowledged and that sort of stuff, whilst I don't mind being acknowledged, and I quite like you guys thinking I'm a great hypnotist, thank you very much, I appreciate it. Please keep buying my products. The key thing that I'm really interested in is making people grow. I want people to be true master hypnotists. And to me, that just doesn't mean just an element of skill. If I was a very fiery person, then I'd be more interested in the technique and the gadgets you can make people do things with. I'm interested in who you are as a person and how you can grow as a person, as a result of which you become more powerful. So these are all very classic watery traits. I do exhibit some air traits and, of course, some earthy traits in terms of being very systematic in the way I present things, some fiery traits in terms of my interactions with people and, you know, being relaxed in nature and all that sort of stuff. But notice again, this makes me a more complete person. I do have elements of the four elements inside of me. It's just a question of where does the dominance lie. Now that you know what my preference is, where my profile tends towards, you'll also know how to influence me. Please don't manipulate me too much, but if you do it, make sure that I enjoy it too. I look forward to seeing you on session 2 now, where we'll discover the secrets of taking these four basic profiles and really looking at enriching them and making them more complete in terms of looking at people. So we're adding more layers on top of it, which gives you more functions, more ways of predicting things, and more ways of influencing people's character. Until then, go ahead and play the elements game with your friends, and to see where it takes you.